This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show. Thanks for joining me this Tuesday. We'll begin this week with the Whistler. We'll hear his story from December 13th, 1942, titled The Accounting. After that, it's The Red Skelton Show and A Day at the Races. That episode first aired February 5th, 1950.
Wait a minute. Have you heard the strange tales of the Whistler?
I'm the Whistler.
I didn't steal the money. I just wanted to use it for a few days. I was going to put it back, but things went wrong. Now there's going to be a change of ownership. That means an early audit.
Sunday night, and again, CBS presents The Whistler.
I, the Whistler, know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales, many secrets hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. And so I tell you tonight the tale of the accounting. Tom Bradford is a middle-aged rancher living a few miles out of town. Tom has married a widow with a grown son named Ralph, who is inclined to be shiftless and lazy. Tom resents this because times are difficult and he's short of help. He further resents the fact that the boy has married a girl from the town and brought her to live with them. They've been here for 2 months now, and Tom has grown crabby and unpleasant.
You know the way conditions are, Mary. Just can't get any help in this ranch. It's too much for me to handle alone.
I know, Tom, but Ralph doesn't know anything about a ranch. Ralph was raised in the city.
He can learn, but he's too lazy. All he does is sit around and read magazines.
But he's a delicate sort of boy. He always has been.
Well, let him go out and do a little work and he won't be so delicate. You've made a baby out of him.
I've done no such thing. If Ralph were able to help you, I'd be the first one to ask him to do it.
Oh, if he amounted to anything, he wouldn't have to be asked. I wish the army would take him.
They deferred him because he wasn't strong enough.
Well, he's not too weak to do a little something around here. And that wife of his, that Vera, she's worse than he is. She could do something. All she does is dress herself up in baby Ralph's.
She loves
him. Never washes a dish because it might ruin her hands. She can't cook. She can't do a thing. I don't like her.
I think Vera's a nice girl.
And I can do without her being here.
You mean you don't want her here?
That's exactly what I mean.
But if she left, that would mean that... Why, Ralph wouldn't stay here without Vera.
Then they can both go.
Do you know what you're saying? Ralph is my son.
I don't care who he is. He can get out and shift for himself. And take that scheming little brat of a wife with him.
Oh, you're just upset, Tom. You'll feel different about things in a few days. You must try to control yourself.
Mary, before they came here, you and I got along very nicely. But since they've come, we've had nothing but arguments and hard feelings. Ralph and Vera are constantly stirring up trouble. Naturally, you take Ralph's side. You can't see his faults because you're his mother. But at the same time, you're his worst enemy.
Tom, how can you say such a thing?
I know what I'm talking about, and I've made up my mind. They've got to go.
Go where? What will they do?
Let Ralph figure it out. Let him get a job.
A job? What can he do?
A lot of things. He's not that helpless.
Oh, but Tom, please, you don't understand.
I understand, all right, and that's final. He and Vera can get out in the morning.
Very well. I'll tell them. And perhaps I should go, too. Is that what you want?
Oh, now, don't be ridiculous, Mary. I didn't say that.
I thought you loved me. I never dreamed you could be like this.
I'm not being mean, Mary, and I don't want to talk about it anymore. You going to tell them, or shall I?
Yes, Tom, I'll tell them.
Very well. I'm very tired. Good night, Mary.
Ralph, darling, it's Mother. May I come in?
Oh, yes, Mother.
Sorry to disturb you so late, but I have to talk to you and Vera.
Oh, yeah? What's the matter?
Well, it's about Tom.
What about him?
Well, I don't know how to say it.
Say what? What's wrong with him?
I don't know. He just isn't himself. You know how terribly upset he's been lately.
Yeah.
But he doesn't understand, Ralph. He just doesn't understand.
Understand what?
He doesn't understand you. You and Vera.
What's wrong with me?
Nothing, Vera. It's just Tom. He's in one of those spells. He doesn't like anything or anybody.
You mean he saw us?
Yes, Ralph. He's terribly upset.
Well, what have I done?
Well, he thinks you're lazy. He's angry because you won't help him around the ranch.
What? Oh, that's silly. What do I know about a ranch? Nothing.
I told him that, but he said you could learn.
Well, I wouldn't last half a day doing this kind of work. I'm not the type.
He's terribly unreasonable. He refuses to see it that way.
Well, all the heck with him, then.
I'm lazy, too. Is that what he thinks?
Yes, Vera. I'm terribly sorry and embarrassed.
We aren't farmers. I'm not going to let Vera tend those confounded chickens, and I'm not going to milk any cows.
Ralph.
What does he think I am?
Please, Ralph, don't get excited.
Well, if he feels that way about me, I'll get out.
What? You'll do no such thing. We'll stay right here till I get ready to leave.
Ralph, darling, Tom wants you to leave in the morning.
What? Well, of all the nerve. This is your house, too, isn't it?
Yes, but, Ralph, if you stay here, you'll have to work, and I don't want you to have to do that. You couldn't stand it. It wouldn't be good for you. What?
You mean you want us to leave?
No, I don't want you to. But I've thought it all over, and I think you'd better go into town. But don't worry, I'll see that you get along all right.
Well, how? Well, I'll have to get a job.
Well, maybe you can find something to do, something light.
What a fine mess.
I'm sorry, darling. But you better go in the morning.
Go? I wouldn't stay around here another day.
Well, I know bookkeeping. Maybe I could get a job in the bank. That isn't such hard work.
No, but don't worry, darling.
I won't.
Good night.
The next morning after breakfast, Ralph and Vera leave the ranch and go into town. A few days later, Ralph obtains a job in the bank. Then, after a month or so, he is promoted from the adding machine to the teller's cage. Now, 2 months more have passed, and the young teller in the next cage steps into Ralph's compartment.
Busy, Ralph?
Huh? Oh, well, no, Herb. I was just...
How are things going?
All right, Herb.
Yeah? Seem to be having some trouble, Ralph.
Trouble? What do you mean?
Oh, I don't know. You looked a little worried. I thought maybe you were having a bit of difficulty making things balance.
What do you mean? No, I'm not having any trouble. What gave you that idea?
Well, I've been off a few cents a couple of times, and believe me, I know what it means. Why, I've worked all night, several times, trying to find what happened to 2 cents. I know how it feels.
Yeah? Did you find it?
Well, I didn't find the 2 cents, but I found the error in my figures.
Well, I haven't found the error in my figures.
Haven't you? Well, that's good.
What would be wrong with my books?
Why, I didn't say anything would be wrong. I just thought you looked a bit worried. Thought maybe I could help you.
I don't need any help. I'm quite able to take care of my responsibilities.
Good. Glad to hear it. By the way, have you heard the news?
What news?
This bank is being taken over by a system and is to become one of its branches. You know what that means.
No, what's it mean?
It means a complete audit before the end of this month. That isn't very far away. About 15 days.
Yeah?
I just thought you'd want everything in order. I know I would.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the information.
You're welcome, Ralph.
For a few moments, Ralph stands in a stupor. Perspiration stands out in large beads on his forehead. For the next hour, he studies over his books frantically. Then, when closing time comes, he rushes home.
Hello, darling. Oh, you have no idea how much I've missed you all day.
Yeah?
Kiss me.
Yeah.
What's the matter with you?
Nothing.
Well, I'm certainly disappointed.
What about?
You come in like this with a long face and look at the lovely dinner I fixed for you.
I'm not very hungry, Vera. I got a headache.
Oh, poor darling. You eat something and then I'll rub your head for you.
No, I don't want anything. Let me alone, please.
Ralph, what on earth is wrong with you?
Nothing's wrong with me. Shut up.
How dare you talk to me like that? Who do you think you are?
I'm sorry, darling. I'm just upset. I'm all on edge.
What about?
Just my nerves.
More than nerves. Why don't you tell me what's happened?
Who said anything had happened?
I can tell. Have you lost your job?
No.
Is that fellow you lost $50 to in that poker game threatening you? Is that it?
Look, Vera, I'm in a spot. I don't know what to do. The bank is changing hands, and there'll be an audit before the end of the month.
Well, what of it? What's that to do with the poker player?
Oh, nothing. I paid him off, but it wasn't $50.
Wasn't 50? What was it?
$2,000.
$2,000?
I didn't lose it all at once, but I tried to make back what I'd lost, and I only got in deeper.
Then if you lost $2,000, how did you pay him off?
I borrowed it from the bank.
How could you borrow $2,000 from the bank?
I took it.
What?
Yes, but I was sure I could put it back before the end of the month. Now I'm worried. I don't know what to do. If I don't put it back before the audit, I'll get caught and sent to prison.
Where are we going to get $2,000?
I don't know, but there must be some way, some place to get it.
How about your mother? She'd give it to you. Tom has money.
Well, he doesn't like us.
No? Well, maybe we could make him like us. At least we could try. Let's drive over there. This is Saturday afternoon, and next Monday is a legal holiday. Let's drive over and see what we can do.
All right. At least we can do is try. We'll go.
Ralph and Vera drive to the ranch. And as they go up to the porch, they hear Tom arguing in a loud voice with another man just around the corner of the house. They slip to the edge of the porch and listen.
All right. All right, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I've given you all the time I can, Miller. You've been on that piece of land for 2 years now, and you haven't paid a dollar beyond the down payment.
But I've tried my best to make it pay. I've worked hard.
Oh, you haven't done a thing. You know what you are? You're just one of those lazy subsistence farmers. Just grow enough to eat and let it go at that.
That's a lie, Brad.
Oh, is it? I'm foreclosing tomorrow. There's a lot of money tied up in that land, and I need it.
Well, so have I. Every cent I have is there.
I want you out of there by tomorrow.
But look here. My wife is sick. I can't leave now. I won't.
Oh, can't you? Won't you? Well, you'd better be out by noon, Miller.
Well, you just try it. I guess as soon as kill you as look at you.
What did you say? Get out of there. Get out of there!
I'll go. But you just remember what I said.
Well, what do you think of that?
Come on. Let's go on in and talk to your mother.
Tom's going to have a stroke one of these days. He's been warned about those fits of temper.
Might be a good thing for everybody if something did happen to him.
Yeah? Maybe so.
Oh, hello, Ralph, darling. I didn't expect you down today.
He has an extra day off, so we thought we'd come down.
Did you hear Tom arguing with that fellow Miller just now?
Yes, I heard them.
Tom better not play around with Miller. He's a tough-looking customer.
Tom gets worse every day. He rants and raves at the least little thing. Hasn't spoken to me civilly for weeks. I can't stand it here any longer. I'm glad you came because I'm going back with you.
Going back? Leaving Tom?
I've got to. He's unbearable.
Oh, but Mother, you can't leave him. That is, not just now.
Why not?
Well, you've got to put up with him for a while longer because I...
Why don't you tell her, Ralph?
Ralph, what is it? What's happened?
Ralph is in trouble. He needs some money.
Oh, darling, what's happened? Tell Mother.
Well, I borrowed some money from the bank. I have to pay it back before the end of the month.
How much?
$2,000.
What? Good heavens. Well, if you can't pay it back now, they'll have to extend it. They can't do anything else.
Oh, yes, they can.
They'll send him to jail.
You see, they didn't know I borrowed it.
Ralph, darling. You mean you stole it?
No, I didn't steal it. I was just wanted for a few days. I was going to pay it back, but things went wrong. And now there's going to be a change of ownership. And that means an audit.
He's got to have the money right away.
But what can I do? I haven't any...
You've got to get it from Tom. You've got to.
But Tom needs every cent he has to hold on to this place.
Well, you can ask him. You've got to do something. Do you want Ralph to go to the penitentiary?
Oh, good heavens, no.
Then hurry up and talk to him.
But I... What'll I say?
Oh, you'll think of something. Go on in and talk to him.
But do you think this is the time?
Well, I'm desperate. I need that money in one way or another. I'm going to get it.
Oh, yes. Yes, darling. Don't get excited. It isn't good for you. I'll talk to him now.
He just came in the back way. We'll wait in here.
Yes, all right. Oh, Tom, look at your face. It's flaming red.
Huh?
You shouldn't let yourself get so worked up over things.
Miller's a lazy, good-for-nothing fool. Well, he knows I mean business. He'd better be gone by tomorrow noon.
Oh, he'll go. Don't worry.
You can threaten to kill me.
Please, Tom, forget about it. Come on, dear, sit down. Your lunch is ready.
Don't really need that land. Just that I can't tolerate shiftless, irresponsible people. That place is worth $5,000. Miller paid $750 down, been on it 2 years, and hasn't made a dime since.
Tom, dear, I need some money.
Yes? Well, that's not unusual. Hand me the checkbook. By the way, I've got a list of things you can get from me in town. How much do you want, Mary?
I want to borrow some money, Tom.
Since when do you have to borrow money?
Well, I want to borrow it.
That's ridiculous. Borrow it. Now, how much do you want?
$2,000.
$2,000? Are you crazy?
No, Tom, I need $2,000.
What could you possibly need that would cost that much? You certainly have everything that... Wait a minute. What are you getting at, Mary?
Please, Tom. Please lend it to me. I'll pay it back. I promise.
How? Just how would you pay it back? You have no earning capacity.
Well, I know, but Ralph has. He could
Ralph?
Pay...
I thought it was something like that. What's he got up his sleeve?
He needs $2,000 right away.
Oh, he does. Well, what for? What's he done?
Why, nothing, but he has an opportunity to... Well, it's a business proposition.
Do you expect me to believe that? What's he done? Something at the bank?
He... Well...
Quit stalling. Did he borrow from the bank and forget to tell them about it?
Yes. Oh, Tom, please. Please let me have it. They might send him to jail.
Jail? Oh, no, not Ralph. He couldn't stand it.
Please, Tom, please. He's so young. He didn't realize what he was doing.
Let him go to jail. Maybe they'll teach him that the world wasn't made for him alone.
Oh, you don't mean that, Tom.
Don't I? I knew he was no good from the first day he came here, and that snip of Avera's worse. She probably put him up.
Please help us, Tom, please.
I wouldn't give a dime to help him. He belongs in jail. As far as I'm concerned, that's just where he'll go.
Oh, Tom, please.
Damn,
Tom, listen to me. Oh, Ralph, darling. He refused. He won't help me.
I heard of the stingy old crab.
So he doesn't like me, eh? Well, he should know what I think about him. I could stick a knife between his ribs. And, well...
Yeah? You really could?
Yes.
What are you saying? What are you thinking?
Nothing, Mother, nothing. I'm just thinking, Tom isn't in very good health. He ought to be careful about those rages. He's likely to die in one of those spells.
Yes. That would be too bad.
Has Tom any living relatives?
No.
Well, I hope for your sake, Mother, that he's kept up on that insurance policy.
But he has.
Let's see now. How much was that? $50,000, wasn't it?
Yes.
That's a lot of money. Oh. But we mustn't talk like this. Mother would feel terrible if Tom should... After all, he's her husband. She loves him.
Yes. Yes, of course.
But you'll have to face it sooner or later. He's getting along in years.
On the other hand, he may live a long time yet. Who knows?
Yeah, yeah. I'd be afraid of that Miller after the threats we heard him make.
Ralph, darling, I...
Yes, Mother? What were you going to say?
Nothing. I wasn't going to say anything.
Come on, Vera. Let's get our things out of the car.
Tom goes into town and arranges for the eviction papers to be served on Miller. He returns late that evening and goes straight to bed. The night passes and morning comes. Tom, being an outdoor man, is usually up before sunrise. But this morning, only Mary, Ralph, and Vera appear for breakfast. Finally, Mary, becoming worried, goes to Tom's room and knocks. He does not answer. She opens the door and screams in horror. There on the bed lies Tom, stabbed in the heart.
Well, he's been dead since about midnight. Bedroom window was open, but we can't find the weapon.
Why, he probably took it with him, Sheriff.
Who?
Well, that fellow Miller. He must have done it.
How do you know that?
Well, he was here yesterday afternoon, and he and Tom had a terrific argument. Tom was evicting him, and Miller threatened to kill Tom.
Anybody else hear him say that?
Yes. I heard him.
So did I.
Yeah, then it looks like Miller's our man. We'll get over there right away before he has a chance to skip. Come on, Bill.
Oh, Ralph. Ralph, darling.
No, Mother. You better go to your room and try to rest.
Yes, Ralph.
certainly hope they catch Miller. Do you think they can pin it on him without any evidence?
Well, certainly. You heard what the sheriff said. Miller's threat's all they need. You think Miller did it, don't you?
Why, of course I do. What a silly question.
When the sheriff arrives, he finds that Miller has gone. They put out a search for him. Now, Ralph is back at the bank, in the cage next to Herb.
Well, Ralph, they haven't found that fellow Miller yet.
No. Well, they'll find her.
Do you really think it was Miller who killed your stepfather?
Well, of course I do. He threatened to kill him. Three of us heard him.
Well, sometimes people say things that they never mean to carry out.
Oh, you should have heard him. He meant it.
Maybe he did. But that doesn't mean he did it.
What are you talking about?
Oh, I was just thinking.
Yeah?
Circumstantial evidence is an awful thing sometimes.
How do you mean?
Well, so many people have been convicted on a mere word, a mere nothing. People hear a person say something, and by the time they repeat it in court, they enlarge on it a dozen times. I remember a fellow who worked here. In fact, in your cage.
What about him?
Well, he used to play poker quite a bit. And one night he made a haul, won $400 or $500, and went flashing his roll around town and boasting.
So what? What's wrong with that?
Well, he went into the drugstore and started showing off, and when the old druggist asked him where he got all of that money, he kiddingly remarked that he had robbed the bank. Well, that got around and finally took on a serious tone. They checked up here at the bank, and sure enough, there was a $500 shortage. And even though his pals swore that he'd won it in the game, they convicted him on his statement and sent him up.
Well, maybe he did steal it.
He had the opportunity. I have. And you have.
Yeah? Well, is he still in the pen?
No, he was lucky. He got out after 5 years.
How'd he get out?
He was exonerated. Another teller confessed to it later. They sent him up and let the other kid out.
Oh, he was lucky. 5 years, huh?
Yep. It's a long time. It'd be a shame if Miller were convicted in the same way, and then they later found out that he was innocent, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but oh, he did it. He had the motive, the opportunity. He said he'd do it.
Well, he may not have been the only one with a motive.
It's after three. I'm going to run along. See you in the morning, Herb.
So long.
Ralph grabs his hat, his face tense with anxiety as he hurries down the street to his car. He drives quickly to the ranch and enters the house. Standing in the middle of the room is the sheriff.
Hello, Ralph. You're just in time.
What? In time? How long have you been here?
Just drove up a second before you did.
Well, what do you want? Did you find Miller?
No, not yet, but they will.
Oh. Well, you certainly got a case against him, all right. He won't have a chance.
I wanted to ask you and your mother and your wife a few more questions.
Yeah? Well, all right. What do you want to know?
We got a message from someone in town saying that Miller was seen at the gas station about 7 o'clock on the night Tom Bradford was killed.
Well, so what? Maybe he was.
They checked with the attendant. He said Miller had his car packed, had his family, and headed out of town in the opposite direction.
Well, maybe he circled around and then came back.
No. He couldn't have done that.
Why not?
Because he wouldn't have had time. He was seen in the next town an hour later, still headed east. He wouldn't have had time to get that far if he'd circled back here. See what I mean?
Yeah, I see. But he must have come back.
Not unless he flew. And that isn't probable.
But there must be some explanation. He must have gotten here some way. Maybe he killed him earlier. Maybe that's it.
Say, that's right.
No. We can figure the time of death closer than that. It was near midnight. That's definite.
I see. Well, who told you about this? Who sent you this message?
We don't know. It was printed with a pencil and mailed in town.
Yeah? Is that all it said?
Well, no. There was more to it.
Huh? What else?
Oh, there's always cranks butting into cases like this. Amateur detectives are always getting hunches, and Yeah, they're seldom ever right.
Well, what did it say?
I'll tell you. Calm down.
Yes, Ralph, take it easy.
Oh, yes, darling, don't be so upset. It isn't good for you.
Well?
It said that the real murderer would probably be found in the immediate household of Tom Bradford.
What?
And since we haven't found the weapon, we might check over the house.
I never heard of such a thing.
That's the biggest bunch of nonsense I ever heard of. Why, my mother loved Tom Bradford. So did I, so did Vera. He was like a father to us.
Please, Ralph, don't shout.
Well, my partner's been looking over the place while we've been talking. I imagine that he'll find...
Just a minute. I hate to bother you right now, but... Here you are, Sheriff. Take a look at this.
Well, a knife.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently covered with blood.
That's right. I found it in Mrs. Bradford's room. Right under the mattress.
What? Well, how did it get there?
Yes, Mrs. Bradford. How did it get there?
I put it there. Afterward.
Mother, what are you saying? You're out of your mind.
Did you kill your husband?
Yes. Yes, I killed him.
No, she did not. She couldn't have.
I killed him, and I had a good reason. I hated him. He was cruel. Cruel to me, and he hated Ralph. I couldn't stand it any longer, so I killed him.
She's lying. She didn't do it.
She ought to know. We know Miller didn't do it.
You can't do this, Mother. I know what you're trying to do.
What's she doing?
She's trying to protect me. She thinks I did it.
Thinks you did it.
Mother, do you realize what this means? Tell him the truth. Tell him.
I did it. I killed him. The knife is from my own kitchen. I did it, and I'm glad.
She's crazy. She couldn't have done it.
Why not?
Because I killed him. She's trying to protect me.
Ralph, what are you saying?
I did it, I tell you. I ought to know. I had a better motive than she.
What motive?
I'll tell you that later.
I don't believe you killed him, Ralph. You're trying to protect your mother now. Because you know she did it.
I did it, I tell you. I did it.
Well, that's enough for me. I believe her. But we'll soon find out. We'll check the fingerprints on the knife.
That won't prove anything.
Why not?
Because I used the glove. Mother must have taken the knife from the body and hidden it, thinking that I'd slipped up.
That's just so much talk, and you're just shooting in the dark. Come on, Bill. Let's go back to town and do some checking.
The only fingerprints on the knife were Mary's, and try as he might, Ralph could not convince them that he wasn't trying to shield his mother. Ralph realized finally that his mother was sure to be convicted, and as the day of the audit grew closer, he became frantic about the money he had to have. On the day his mother was sentenced to prison, he visited the attorney.
I thought I'd drop in and see about that policy Tom Bradford left for my mother. Quite a few things to be take care of, you know.
Well, I'll tell you, Ralph. That policy would have been paid long ago, but there are certain technicalities in this state regarding insurance.
What's that?
We had to wait till the finish of the trial.
Well, why? She's the beneficiary. She's entitled as insurance.
Not here. If the beneficiary is convicted of killing the insured, the beneficiary cannot receive the proceeds of the policy. The same is true as to Tom's farms and other property.
What? What about me? I'm the son. There are no other heirs.
You were not the blood kid to Tom Bradford, and you were not legally adopted. Therefore, all the property and the insurance reverts to Tom's estate. Nothing we can do about it.
Well, Ralph, there you are, holding the bag. Now you've got to face the music at the bank. With all your scheming, nothing was gained. You planned to kill Tom and blame it on Miller, but instead got your mother upset and she killed him because she wanted to keep you from doing it. That's what you believe, Ralph, but you're wrong. I know. Your mother didn't do it. She found the body and removed the knife, thinking you'd slipped up. It was your dear little wife, Vera, who did it, and she'll never tell. But she'll pay for it later. I know.
CBS has presented The Whistler. Original music for this production was composed and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. The Whistler is written and directed by J. Donald Wilson and originates from Columbia Square in Hollywood.
I, the Whistler, will return to tell you another interesting tale. Good night.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
I'll do it as Junior. Huh?
Okay, Red, let's hear your message.
Okay. Work is never a chore when you buy Tide at the store. Clothes are fluffy and white. This is sparkly and bright. Who could ask for anything more?
T-I-D-E, Tide.
From Hollywood, Procter & Gamble's Tide, the largest selling wash day product in America, proudly presents the Red Skelton Program. With Red Skelton, David Rose and his orchestra, our singing stars, the Four Knights, Maureen Tuttle, Pat McGee and Dick Ryan, Martha Wentworth and John Holbrook, will be me, Rod O'Connor. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer gave their clown the afternoon off, and Procter & Gamble told him to relax while they looked for a loophole in his contract. So, here's what happened when I dropped by his house to go to the racetrack with Red Skelton.
Hey, Fred, Mr. Fred.
I'm in here polishing the silverware, Mr. Skelton.
Oh?
Yeah, my, this sure is a beautiful pattern.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah, I'll bet it's expensive with that S engraved on
it. It ought to be. I got it from the Shamrock Hotel in Houston.
You mean you stole it?
No, I just took 8 place settings as a souvenir, was all.
Oh, goodness me. And how about those guest towels with the monogrammed S on them? Shamrock Hotel, too?
No, Standard Oil Station. These jokes sound like they were written by someone who was just robbed.
Say, about that robbery, I understand Edna was light and airy about the whole thing.
Yeah, when she turned on the light, she went right up in the air.
And she had a watchdog, too.
Yeah, I called Edna this morning, and the dog answered the phone. He said, if you need anything, come on over. She's out.
Someone's at the door.
Yeah, I'll go see who it is.
Okay.
Hiya, Scott.
Hi, Ron.
How come you answered the door? Isn't Fred, old Mr. Worrywart, here anymore?
No, he's not here. You mean Sugar? No, he's not here. Before he came along, I had to wait on myself, but now it's different. I have to wait on him, too.
Say, how's that picture you're making with Fred Astaire and Dick Thorpe coming along?
3 little words?
Yeah.
Well, I don't like to brag, but Dory Sherry saw the first rushes, and he came up to me, and he says, well, Skelton, you've done it again. This time we sue. No, the MGM says this picture will make a big star out of me.
Who for, Republic?
For Republic. I hope you'll remember to write to me after you're gone. We're going to miss you around here, boy.
Well, you know, Red, you've been working too hard lately. How about going out the racetrack?
I told you I didn't want to go out to the track. That track's nothing but the Truman Tax Program with Paramutual.
Oh, come on, Red. You know, you need a change.
Yeah, that's just it. What change I've got, I'm not going to give to the track. I can't afford to lose money. You know, I'm not like Bob Hope. He can stick a hole in the ground, you know, like that, and up comes oil. Me, I drill a hole in the ground, and a gopher comes up and sticks his tongue out at me. Hey, no kidding. I was digging in my yard the other day, and a gopher came up, and he says, please, please, you're tickling my wife.
Oh, come on. Let's go to the races. Say, I've got some good tips today we can't miss.
Yeah, that's what you said the last time we went to the races with you. He gave me a radio horse. Just as the race started, the horse turned to the grandstand and says, so long, folks. See you next week. Same time, same place. Oh, I got more, huh?
Yeah.
Boy, those horses. Oh, boy. It's pretty hard stuff to do, you know. Pretty hard. The white stuff I can handle. It's black and white stuff throws me. Those horses that you bet on are so slow, if they can get out of the starting gate, they gave them a saliva test. Oh, sorry, I mentioned it. No. You go to the races without me. Go ahead. I'm going to stay home and rinse out a few things. I send some of my stuff to the laundry, but I like to do my silks myself.
But, Red, I've got 2 passes to the clubhouse, and You know, Santa Anita's beautiful this time
yeah,
of year.
Yeah, that's one thing nice about Santa Anita, boy. When you lose your shirt, you can always take a sun bath and get a tan. They're turning out some of the healthiest bums in the world.
Well, come on out, Red. You know, you might get some ideas for our program.
Okay, I'll go with you, but I'm only going to take $2 with me. Hey, Fred, would you like to come along with us to the racetrack?
No, no, Mr. Skelton. I never leave the house. No, sir.
I want you to get this,
I never leave the house. You see, if you go out of the house, you meet people, and they have germs, and then you catch the germs, and you get sick, and then you have to stay in the house, and that's awful.
Now I wish they'd have stolen Edna. Say, Rod. Let's call Dave Rose and see if he'd like to go with us. Do you know his number?
Oh, yes. This week they're playing the 12th Street Rag.
Oh.
Making wash day miracles is Tide's business. And here's the latest, greatest Tide miracle of all. Now, Procter & Gamble's Tide promises you a dazzling clean wash without rinsing. Think of it, clean clothes without rinsing. Here's how Tide works this new miracle. Tide not only gets the dirt out of clothes, but keeps that dirt suspended in the sudsy wash water. When you've wrung out the water, you've wrung out the dirt, too. Clothes go straight from the wringer or spin dryer to the wash line. Fresh, clean, and white. They dry soft and fluffy. They iron easily. They smell sweet and clean. And I mean clean. You're all familiar with how clean Tide gets clothes with rinsing. Actually cleaner than any other washing product known, bar none. Now try that same wonderful Tide without rinsing. Why, your clothes will be unbelievably bright and white and fresh. And you'll save time and work. And remember, the Tide you pick up from your dealer's shelf today in the same familiar package gives you a dazzling clean wash without rinsing.
Tide in, dirt out, T-I-D-E, Tide.
The lady that sneezed during the commercial? Oh, Connor, I don't know why I let you talk me into coming out here to these races. We've been here for 3 races. If we were smart, we'd end the show right here, you know? We've been here for three races and I haven't won a dime.
What page are you on?
Page 12. My name's Skelton, by the way.
Well, the reason we haven't been winning, we've just been picking the wrong horses.
I don't think they were horses. The one in the last race had to stop in the middle of the track to be milked.
Oh, now, come on, stop worrying, you know. We'll get even yet, Red.
Yeah?
Oh, say, look who's coming this way.
Oh, yeah, old forgetful Freddy. Hi, Freddy.
Good day, gentlemen. I say, would you like a good horse in the next race?
Oh, what are you, a trout? Trout?
I say, how should I know?
You say you got a good tip for us in the next race, huh?
Oh, yes,
well, indeed. What is it?
This horse can't possibly lose.
Oh, really?
His name is,
Well, hurry up. Those horses don't live forever, you know. Yeah, give me his name. Just his name.
The name?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. The name of the horse is,
I never heard of him.
I say, isn't it silly? I have the name right on the very tip of my tongue.
Well, stick it out. I'll try to read it for you. Did you have a racing program? Maybe you'll see his name. Here, you look at my program. Maybe
I see. Thank you. There. Most interesting. Now, which horse did you say was going to win?
Well, the one... You were going to tell me.
I say, how sneaky can you get? I was minding my own business, and you slither up behind me and say you've got a hot tip for me, and now you're trying to get out of it.
Now, look, brain crush. You're all mixed up. You started this.
I think it's about time something was done about you racetrack touts, and I'm going to turn you over to the authorities.
Huh?
Oh, police officer! Police officer! Please come! I've got one of Mickey's boys for you.
Oh, let's get out of here. Get out of here before that jerk gets us into trouble.
Hey, Red, we're trapped.
What's the matter?
Polly the Panhandler just spotted
us. Oh, yeah, old Miss La Brea Tar Pit of 1950. I see she's still wearing that mangy old fur coat.
Is that real fur?
I don't think it was real when the animal was wearing it. It's got a nice lining to it, though. Of course, you need something to paste that hair on. Hi, Polly.
Polly, gents. Say, do you youngsters remember me?
Yes, we remember you, Polly.
Well, then I guess I'll have to try a new approach. Say, buddy, you wouldn't happen to have $20,000 in jewels on you, would you?
No, I'm just a guy with a lot of brass myself.
I'm disappointed. You wouldn't happen to have a hairbrush on you. This fur coat has dandruff. Something awful.
Now, look, you're not going to start begging again, are you?
Well, how else is a gal going to make an honest living? Years ago, when I was queen of the silent pictures, I could have anything I wanted. But now all I get is $30 or 30 days. Why, I remember the time Mussolini wanted to take me to Stromboli. Yeah, but I was married to a tree surgeon at the time. I couldn't go.
I sure got a great part in this one, ain't I?
Say, youngster, you wouldn't happen to have an old lower plate you're not using, would you? I'm terribly nervous, and it's no fun gumming my fingernails.
Well, how do you feel today?
Oh, I'm on an awful strict diet. My doctor gave me a warning yesterday.
But you've got to lose weight?
No, that I better give him back his wallet.
Oh, now, you wouldn't lift anybody's wallet, would you, Polly?
No. Hey, this is an awful cute picture of your wife and kids.
Well, give me my wallet, will you?
Don't get excited, youngster. I was only admiring the pictures.
Yeah?
Say, could I keep one?
Well, what do you want with a picture of my kids?
Oh, I was referring to this picture of Hamilton on a $10 bill. It's such a good likeness.
Well, I'm sorry. I've already promised it to Harry Truman.
Say, listen, you wouldn't happen to have an old wind ticket on the next race, would you?
No.
Oh, you wouldn't happen to have a pair of glasses on you, would you? I'd like to check my racing form.
Oh, don't you have any glasses?
Sure, I got a couple of dozen pairs here in my bag. But those people in the streetcar just didn't happen to be wearing the kind I need. Well, I gotta be ambling along, youngster. That racetrack copper spotted me again.
Goodbye, Polly. Hey, the horses are coming out on the track.
Yeah, I'm going to get a bet down.
Yeah, well, I'll meet you at the usual spot down to the rail there. Well,
look who's at the cashier's window. Willie Lump Lump.
All right, come on, boy, come on. Give me my dough, give me my money.
Look, I'm trying to explain to you this ain't a race ticket. This is a bus transfer.
Okay, then, give me my bus.
Please, let's not start a scene.
Why, can't you act? I'm not starting a scene. Just hand me over my money or I'm going to get up on my knees and poke you one.
I can't give you any money until you hand over your ticket for the last race.
Well, that's impossible. I got so excited that I ate it.
Oh, that's awful.
I thought it tasted pretty good, myself. I bought my dough now. Come on, I need it. I got a wife to think of, and that's a pretty frightening thought if you ask me.
Well, Willie, maybe I can help you out.
Now, let's not get nosy, fat boy. This guy behind these bars is a crook. That's why they got him behind bars. Anybody behind bars is no friend of mine. No friend of mine. Usually a relative. You know.
Now, calm down and tell me, are you sure you ate your race ticket?
I'm sure. I was standing out there by the rail with a ticket in one hand and a hot dog in the other, Steve. Mm-hmm. And then my horse won, and I stuffed the ticket in my mouth and tore up my hot dog. Look at my mustard-covered hands. I look like I'm wearing yellow gloves, Tom.
Well, what horse did you bet on?
I bet on that big white one with the brown dots.
That isn't a race horse. That's one of the horses that pulls the starting gate around.
If I want to protect my bet, that's my opinion. Well, I think you're trying to talk me out of my money, Fatso. Somehow you just don't look right to me. Oh, sir, you just don't look right to me.
I'm really
a pretty good judge of character around racetrack, but you just don't look right to me. Unquote.
Look, Willie. For 2 cents, I'd bust you one right in the kisser.
Yeah, you're mercenary, ain't you?
You know, you ought to lay off that stuff. It's getting the best of you.
Don't tell me. I know when I've had enough. When I'm at the bar, I take 2 little quarts and I put them in my ear, see? Mm-hmm. And I drink until they pop out. And I put them back in and start all over again. I only do it to forget, you know.
Well, what are you trying to forget?
I can't remember. Oh, yeah, I know what it was. You just don't look right to me.
Oh, I'll see you later.
Yeah, from now on, I'll print my own tickets. It's cheaper.
Well, look who's entertaining in the cocktail lounge between races, the Four Knights. I'll give a listen.
M. I say M-O. M-O-P. M-O-P-P. Mop. R-A-G-G-M-O-P-P. Rag mop. Doo-doo-da-da-da. 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 R-A-G-G-M-O-P-P. A. I say A B A B C A B C D A B C D E A B C D E F G H M I say M O M O P M O P P Mop M-O-P-P, mop, 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 R. I say R-A, R-A-T, R-A-T-T, rag, R-A-T-T-M-O-P-P, rag, mop, doo-doo, da-da-da-da, rag, mop, doo-doo, da-da-da-da, rag, mop, doo-doo, da-da-da-da, rag, mop, doo-doo, da-da-da-da, rag, mop, 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 R-A-G-G-M-O-P-P, rag, mop.
Tide, the product that gave you the world's cleanest wash day, now gives you the world's easiest wash day. Yes, with Procter & Gamble's Tide, you can now get a dazzling clean wash without rinsing. You see, Tide gets the dirt out of clothes and then keeps it suspended in the sudsy water. Wring out the water and the dirt goes too.
clothes can go straight from the wringer to the wash line, fresh, white, and clean. Yes, clean. You know how clean Tide gets clothes with rinsing. Cleaner than any other washing product known. Now, try that same wonderful Tide without rinsing. The results will amaze you. Remember, every package of Tide now on your dealer's shelf will wash clothes dazzling clean without rinsing. That's right, the Tide on your dealer's shelf right now in the same familiar package will wash clothes dazzling clean without rinsing. So try Tide today.
Wonder where Skelton is. Oh, I beg your pardon, lady. Well, Loree.
Well, hello, Rod.
Say, how's Junior? Is he being good these days?
Oh, he's acting like a little angel. He's right up. Junior! Let go of that man's garter.
I wasn't doing anything, Mommy. I was going to let go of the garter just as soon as he got far enough away, see?
Yes, and then it would have snapped back and stung his leg.
Oh, you tried this too, huh? Well, where did you find this big pile of lard here?
Junior, why do you call him the way you see him?
I caught... Now, just for that fat boy, I'm going to tell on you. I'm going to tell about the time you went to the hospital and 14 doctors kept looking at you. They didn't know whether to operate or blast.
Now, that's enough, Junior.
No, no. Goodness, can't we go anywhere without bumping into this Porky here? Why don't you ever stay home, blubber boy?
Well, I do stay at home. I spend a lot of time with my family. Oh, I have a little boy just like you.
Oh, you dreamer. You must suffer. You must
now,
suffer.
Now, Rod's little boy, Ricky, is a perfect little gentleman. He always obeys his mother, and he never does anything wrong.
One of them boring kids, huh?
Lorene, the next race is about to start. Should we go out and watch it?
Yes, I have a hunch on a long shot in this race. I just know it's going to win.
Mama, can I hold a ticket just for lucky? I've always wanted to be lucky for you, you know.
Yes, since when?
Yes.
All right, you can hold the ticket, Junior, but don't you dare lose it now.
No, I won't. Hey, can I have a drink of water? I'll guard it with my life bringer.
The fountain is right over there now.
Okay,
go get it.
I'm going to get a drink of water. I'm going to get a drink of water. Oh, that's cold. That's cold. Now I'm going back to... Uh-oh. Where's the ticket? I thought I had it in his pocket. It's gone. What did I do to the ticket? Oh, I'm practically a hair boy face now, boy.
Now they're at the post.
Oh, goodness, them hay burners are out on the track already. This race is going to start, and I'll bet Mummy's horse would be just mean enough to win. Oh, there's a ticket over there on the floor. Looks just like the one Mummy gave me. Only hers was yellow, and this one's green. Well, maybe she won't know the difference. Maybe she won't know. I'll just give her this one. Hey, Mummy, I'm back.
Please, dear, I'm trying to enjoy myself.
Well, here's your ticket. Don't look at it, though. It might be bad luck. For me, I mean.
Well, you hold on to it, dear. And just hope that my horse, Maple Syrup, wins.
I can't think of anything worse. Really.
There they go. Wally is leading the pack. Chewing Gum is on the rails. Vicky's being forced out. It's Underwear creeping up on the inside. And Maple Syrup is pouring it on.
Maple Syrup is pouring it on.
Boy, if he finishes in the front, I'm going to get it in the rear. I know that.
Now they're coming into the stretch. It's Muscles. Tide is creeping up on Dirt. Dirt is fading. Rumboli's catching on. And Maple Syrup and Sausage are getting hot.
Come on, Maple Syrup.
Slow down,
come
horse.
On.
Slow down, horse.
Come on, Maple
Mommy,
Syrup.
Mommy, stop waving me in the air. I'm not in program.
Lorene, when you're through with him, let me have him. Oh, look, I chewed my tie up.
Coming across the finish line, it's Sweet Cake, Sausage, and Maple Syrup. That's the way it stacks up.
Oh, Junior. I lost.
Yeah, I thought I was there for a while, too, though.
What horse did you have, Rod?
Oh, I had none in this race. I was just waiting for my horse in the first race to come in. I don't think I'll wait up for him anymore.
Junior, you can tear up that ticket now that we've lost.
I don't have to tear it up, kiddo. I lost it before the race started.
What?
Please, now, your eyeballs are popping out again now. I lost your ticket when I found this one in its place.
Oh, Junior, how could you be so... Junior! This is a ticket on number 3.
What's that?
That Sweet Cake number. We win! We win!
Well, please, let's not get sickening about this.
Oh, darling, you're the most wonderful little boy in the world.
Oh, it's nothing, nothing at all. Nothing.
Oh, I can't go for any more of this kid routine. I'll see you later. I've got to find Scalp.
Get along, blabber boy.
Here, I'll cash that ticket. Oh, there's Cauliflower McPug boxing with himself in front of that mirror. I better go stop him before he hurts himself. Hey, Cauliflower.
Now, keep on it, referee. Keep on it now. Get but got this bum licked here now. Good, the bell saved him. The bell saved him.
cauliflower.
Huh?
Don't you know you're boxing a mirror?
I thought that guy had a glass yawner.
Well, where did you get the black eye? In a fight?
Yeah, I was in a bout last night down at Bismol Beach. I fought Kirby Irby, you know. Boy, what a push over he won. What a push over he was.
Well, did you win?
I don't know. They forgot to tell me when I came to. I could have won, though. It was a bum decision, you know. They gave him the fight just because I was unconscious. Unconscious. How about that? I wasn't unconscious. I just acting normal, you know.
Well, are you a pugilist?
What?
A pugilist. P-U.
That me, boy.
Well, say, don't you think it's about time you hung up your gloves?
Well, I should hang them up. I never get a chance to use them, you know. I don't worry about me, no. I'm not like those other guys, you know. You get too many of them punches and you start hearing bells and birds, you know.
Yeah.
I'll never get that condition, boy. I'll stop before that. Wait, I think somebody wants me on the phone here.
Well, say, tell me something. You ever knocked anybody out?
Only once. I swung like a windmill, and I landed one right on the chin, right on the chin.
Was your opponent surprised?
Wouldn't you be surprised to see a guy knock himself out? I wonder where them Swiss bells came from, huh? Put them flamingos out in the track singing there. Isn't that funny, huh? Isn't that funny?
Say, by the way, how's your wife? How's your wife?
I was knocked out once, yes. I had a big fight. A guy had said to him, hit me, I said. I said, go on, hit me. Ask me if he hit me.
Did he hit you?
I don't remember. You asked about who?
Your wife. How's your wife?
Oh, she's slowing down a little. She's slowing down. I'm thinking a few more fights, I'll be able to take her, you know? Well, she keeps in shape by sparring with her mother all the time.
You know, fighters must run in your family.
No, they get later. Say, remove your hat. Somebody's dead. I hear a toll bell ringing.
Well, listen, I...
Oh, isn't that lovely? Listen to them doves flying over to the church.
I've got news for you.
Oh, it's in here. Then the race has started. The starting bell yet went off.
No, there aren't any bells ringing.
There ain't, huh? You want a bet?
Sure.
Okay, the good humor man's coming. We'll let him hold the money. Huh?
You know, you're punchy.
You think I'm punchy? You ought to see them guys down at the gymnasium. Every time they see a girl standing on a corner, they run out and they help her on the butt. They pay her a fare and then they grab a seat just so they can offer to her when she gets on.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Ain't no buses going by in that gymnasium.
Oh, brother.
Oh, the first Robin I've heard this season.
I said, oh, brother.
Well, I thought we were related. How's more?
Well, I've got to find Skelton.
Hey, before you go, what looked good in the next race, huh?
The last race is over.
Well, we all got to go sooner or later, you know. I got to go, too. I hear my trolley coming. Tell on, bud.
Thanks for being with us, and until next Sunday...
This is Red Skelton saying goodbye now, and thanks for listening, and thanks for buying more and more of the Voice Day Miracle Tide.
Tide is dirt of T-I-D-E, Tide.
Now for beautiful natural softness, exciting natural sheen. Don't just wash your hair, condition it with new dream.
It's here, a shampoo that conditions your hair. Conditions your hair to natural softness, natural sheen. It's new dream shampoo, now with beauty conditioner. No other shampoo has this new beauty conditioner. It's an exclusive cleansing agent found only in gentle new dream.
Don't just wash your hair. Condition it with new dream.
New dream shampoo, now with beauty conditioner. Try it.
Millions more school children, fewer teachers, inadequate schools. This distressing situation must be improved. Do your share now. Join and work with your local civic group or school board to help provide better education. Remember, better schools make better communities. Join us again next Sunday for the Red Skelton Show. Red Skelton is heard in this program through the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. I'll be back next Tuesday with another 60 minutes of old-time radio. Between now and then, there's past episodes of this show, more old-time radio, link to the Shoutcast stream, and our donate button, all at relicradio.com. Your donations make this all possible. Thanks to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next week with another episode of the Relic Radio Show. Relic Radio Show is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.